Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you all very much. If you have a voice and you like to sing, I hear the choir is recruiting.
All the time.
All the time.
Absolutely.
All the time. Rehearsal begins Sunday morning at
9 o'clock.
So show up with your voice and sing. Eugene Peterson said, find a small church and become a part of it, because it's there that you can have the greatest impact. And so I want to thank each one of you for having a great impact on our morning by your presence here. We appreciate that very much. Join me now in a word of prayer, please. Loving spirit of community and life, help us to remember that we are your people. We are a part of your body. We give flesh to your nature here on earth. We are your hands and feet. Help us to become more aware of your presence, moving in us, around us, and through us. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be beautiful in your sight. In your many holy names we pray. Amen. You will hear me talk more and even repeat myself about MCC, our denomination, next week, as we recognize it turning 50 years old. So that's a preview and a teaser. But as I gave the opening invocation at Nova Pride yesterday, and I looked around at all of the amazing affirming churches and faith traditions, I realized what a wonderful journey that we have been on. What a long way we have come. Going back 50 years, none of those churches would have said, we affirm, we welcome, or we even sort of tolerate gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered, intersex, queer, and questioning individuals. One or two might have said, well, we're thinking about it, but let's not talk about it. So yes, we have come a long way, and there are so many affirming and welcoming options now for the GLBTIQQ communities. And while many faith traditions may have made a GLBTIQQ journey, I want you to remember, MCC was born that way. We were born that way. And that's one of the many things that makes MCC different, that sets us apart and provides the uniqueness that is us. And yesterday, we celebrated it. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
That was good. Now, I would be remiss if I did not give special mention of our Eastern Network Fall Gathering next Saturday, October 6th, in Hagerstown, Maryland. This is where all the churches, the MCC churches and the Eastern Network, will get together and celebrate our MCC-ness. And October 6th is the exact MCC anniversary date, the day in 1968 that Troy Perry, a defrocked Pentecostal minister, first invited people into his living room for church one Sunday. October 6th. Put an ad in the paper, didn't know who would show up. And 12 very queer people showed up. What a wonderful mixed multitude we are. And since then, we have all journeyed so far in so many ways. The lectionary pericope from the Hebrew Bible today is part of a journey. It's from the book of Numbers, which, when compared with the other books of the Pentateuch, the five books of Moses that Jews call the Torah, it has kind of a weak title. Like someone took a swing and missed. Now, the title in Hebrew is better. It's In the Wilderness. Much better. But for some reason, that never made it through the Greek translations into English. So all we have is Numbers. But I want you to think of it as in the wilderness. That speaks to our times and our lives in so many ways. And it's important to remember that wilderness is often a significant part of a journey. A wilderness often marks a space, a transition between two very significant and very different parts of a journey. Often a shift in identity. For those who transition from male to female or female to male, the space in between is often marked as a wilderness of the unknown. For the Hebrews, it was a shift in identity between slave and free. Between the land of Egypt, the land on which they lived and worked but was not theirs, to the promised land of milk and honey and honeybees and green fields of flowers and grazing livestock. In between those two very different things lay the wilderness, like a reset and a time of wandering. Is the promised land here? Is it there? The Hebrews were still very early in their journey, and they were the proverbial children in the back seat. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Filled with impatience and not recognizing that the actual journey itself is often the true destination of any adventure. And it is often the place where the true self is encountered. So at this point in the wilderness, things were really bad. And it was going to get worse. In the span of just a few chapters, God and Moses have a spat. There's a plague. Moses' brother Aaron and his sister Miriam speak out against him. It was a hard time. There was a huge mixed multitude of people. What this particular translation refers to as rabble. That would have been me. Jews, Gentiles, the marginalized, the slaves, the poor, folks who simply saw a way out of Egypt and took it. The name for Egypt in Hebrew is Mitzrayim, meaning narrow place, narrow places. But you know, you can take the people out of the narrow places, but you can't take the narrow places out of the people. Just like a people who emerge from an oppressive religious tradition, but yet who still wish to retain and pursue some of the worst ways, traits, and behaviors of their oppressors. So the mixed multitude was not prepared for life on the lam out of Egypt. They were surviving on manna, bread from heaven, some of which we have here today. And while manna is mentioned in both the Hebrew Bible and the Quran, the etymology or origin of the word manna is a little fuzzy. We're led to believe that the word itself means, what is it? And we still don't know exactly. We just know it was a sweet, fine, flake-like thing that when made into wafers, tasted a little like wafers made with honey. Not bad. But after a diet of nothing but manna, the mixed multitude was getting restless. They were missing their meat, the flesh pots. If only we had meat to eat. Where's the beef? And our spices, onions, garlic, and leeks and melons and cucumbers and the Five Guys burgers and french fries and butter chicken and spicy Thai ki mao. In short, they were talking in great detail about all the things that they did not have. Have you ever done that? That's hard. That's hard. It only made them miss them and want them all the more, talking about what they didn't have. They were fed up with this survival menu, and they had forgotten how they had actually paid for the flesh in their pot with their own flesh, with their own blood, sweat, and tears. They were feeling, though, with Moses as if they had exchanged one Pharaoh for another Pharaoh. Only this Pharaoh wandered around a lot and didn't have any meat. They were ready to go back to the Pharaoh with the meat, the meaty Pharaoh. But you know what? You cannot go back. You cannot go back. Somebody was trying to give us directions yesterday as we left Nova Pride. In Bull Run Park, Heather's already laughing. In Bull Run Park, and they said, take care with that first turn, because once you go down that road, there's no place to turn around. There's no place to turn around. Isn't it like that with life? In any journey, once you go down that road, there's no place to turn around. Oh, you may think about it. You may dream about it. You may talk about it. And while your GPS keeps pining away for the place you came from, repeating over and over, when possible, make a legal U-turn. But you can't. You can't do that, and you can't do that with life. You have to make your way forward. The wilderness journey teaches us that a lot, like it or not, over and over and over again. So the people are fed up with manna, and then God is fed up with the people, and then Moses is fed up with God. They have all had just about enough of each other. Too much of each other. And with all this complaining and negativity, Moses, like any other leader of people, reaches that breaking point, and I promise you that it is there somewhere, and turns to Yahweh and says, why are you putting all this on me? Did I conceive all of these people? Who are all of these people? Did I give birth to them? I can't carry all these people alone. Moses has taken on a mantle of leadership and a responsibility for the people that is simply impossible for one person to bear. His pain and his despair was so great that death seemed to be a preferred choice. That's something to meditate on for a moment. Death seemed to be a preferred choice. Now, that got the attention of Yahweh. And the solution to that boxed-in place where Moses was at, and the solution to that boxed-in place is to tell someone about it. To tell someone about it, to share the load, to share the burden. We are not meant to do this work alone. We're not meant to do this work of life alone. We're not meant to live life alone. We're not meant to make this journey alone. We need each other in order to survive. And yes, it's hard sometimes to reach out. I know I'm a shy person, believe it or not. I really am. It's hard to reach out to people. But it is a growing experience, I promise you, because it may require change. It may require breath mints.
It should require breath
mints. It should. It may require improved hygiene. It may require a long and painful look at ourselves in the social mirror. Are we just a big bundle of complaints? Pining and whining for what we don't have, looking for someone to blame for where we are in life, and wanting to go back to where we thought things were better, or wanting to go back and have a completely different past, a do-over, because life just sucks so much right now. And by the way, where on earth is my meat? We are not meant to do this work of making the world a better place alone. We are not meant to make this journey alone, and we are not meant to lead alone. We are not meant to lead alone. I meet with clergy colleagues enough to know that anyone who finds themselves leading people in a church environment somewhat reluctantly, with uncertainty, and wandering and painfully aware of being inadequate for the task at hand, can easily find themselves taking on too much. Changing light bulbs and fixing toilets, worrying about paying bills and keeping a roof over everyone's heads, meeting the church mortgage or condo fee, keeping the lights on, making the budget and feeding people, providing food for the people. And yet what must be learned in this social microcosm of a journey is that it takes a whole community to make anything happen. It's on you. And we can even look up to God and say, it's on you. Working together and being present in order to make the journey to the promised land together. That is what is needed. So Moses gathered 70 people, and the Spirit on Moses was given to others as well. The Spirit of life, the Spirit of survival, the Spirit of joyful prophesizing, the Spirit of just doing something. And Moses gets some help. And a people who may have originally felt that they did not have a hand or an investment in their own future suddenly had some skin in the game. They had a voice and they had a connection to the divine and a sense of purpose about what they were doing. And it wasn't just about wandering out there, but rather preparing themselves for a better life. And sometimes that's what the wilderness does. Prepares ourselves for a better life. It takes awareness. It takes investment. It takes involvement. And it takes a release of ego and control. That's a hard one, so I'm going to say it again. It takes a release of ego and control. The 70 trusted elders gathered around the tent, but later on, OMG, two people who weren't there among the 70, Eldad and Medad, they started doing stuff on their own, prophesizing. The very names themselves may have hinted that they weren't Israelites and that they may have even been polytheistic. Yes. Very appropriate. And so someone there ran and told Moses, I know people like this, I really do, ran and told Moses, oh no, oh my, Eldad and Medad, they're over there prophesizing in the camp. That's not right. Stop them. You have to take control of this situation. They're over there doing it. And Moses was like, why? Are you worried for me? This is Yahweh's work. It's not mine. Let Yahweh work. Would that all God's people were prophets, and God would put the Spirit on them to do something. To do something. Those who yearn for leadership, power, and control, who lust to be in places of judgment over others, those who want power just a little too badly, and who guard it just a little too jealously, often have very little grasp of the weight of responsibility that such power bears with it. And yet those who share responsibility, those who are not threatened by the leadership and the gifts of others, and who share leadership broadly, are those who most often are a part of communities that get things done, that accomplish something, that feed people, that care for people, that make the journey from slave to free, the translation from complaining to action, the translation from spirit to body. We have to show up. We have to be present. We have to be aware, and we have to share. We have to understand sacrifice and the investment of ourselves in the lives of others. We have to have patience and an openness to possibility. We have to be willing to let go of control and surrender to the mystery of the moment that turns our frail nature into glory. There is an inescapable parallel between Moses and Jesus. Both were liberators. Both began journeys and led their people on a journey, and neither one would physically complete that journey. And while the disciples of Jesus thought that he would bring down bread from heaven like manna, Jesus instead was the manna, the bread of life. And a lesson that Jesus knew and Moses may have learned here, the concept of servant leadership. When we begin to work with people, something happens. People begin to become a blessing to one another rather than a burden. And our frail nature becomes glorious. Come to me, all who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy and my burden light. Matthew 11:28-29. No matter where you are on your journey, may your frail moments become glorious. And may you become a blessing to others, and let others be a blessing to you. So may it be.